Good morning, Teller. Welcome to the Tabernacle Live. Welcome to Teller family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. I know service is just starting, but I do have an announcement for when that service is over. Please be assured to exit through the side ramp, which is located to your left. Please stand for the scripture. I will be reading 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7 through 9. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 reads, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus." Amen. Amen. What a scripture. Amen. Please bow your heads as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Yeshua, we thank you, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for he has not given us a spirit of fear, God. Hallelujah. But of power, love, and of self-discipline, God, so that we may go boldly into the world and proclaim the good news, God, that Jesus Christ has come to save us, God. Hallelujah, God. And God, I thank you for Jesus, God. I thank you for his love and his mercy, God. Hallelujah, God. The love and mercy that we get even though we don't deserve it, God. Hallelujah, God. For you gave it to us just purely out of your love for us, God, and not an action that we have done, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, Holy Spirit, God. I thank you for giving us safe traveling mercies to this service, God. For it is truly a privilege to be able to come into the house of the Lord one more time, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you for waking us up this morning, God, and for adding us to the list of people today, God. I ask that you bless this service, God, and you move the way you want to move, God, not the way that we want you to move, God. In Jesus' name, God, hallelujah, God, have your way in this service, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Do as you want to do, God, and move as you want to move, God. Hallelujah, God. I ask all these things, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to have a selection by the praise and worship team. Hallelujah. As they make their way up, please. Please give them your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Teller. It's praise and worship time. Praise and worship is important. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, God, and into his courts with praise. Hallelujah, God. So open your mouth and give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know I know it was the blood? Hallelujah, God. I know it was the blood that saved me, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know it.
I know it was the blood.
Come on, y'all. And I know it was the blood. Come on, say that again. Say, I know it was the blood.
I know it was the blood.
Oh, yeah.
I know it was the blood.
It was the blood. Hallelujah.
It was the blood for me.
For one day when I was lost.
One day when I was lost.
Jesus died.
Jesus died.
And I know it.
I know it was the blood for me.
Come on, I know it was the blood.
I know it was the blood.
I know it was.
I know it was. I know it was the blood for me.
One day when I was lost.
One day when I was lost.
Jesus.
Jesus died.
One day.
One day when I was lost.
Come on, Jesus.
Jesus died.
One day when I was lost.
One day when I was lost.
Jesus died.
Jesus died.
One day when I was lost.
One day when I was lost.
How many of you were lost? Hallelujah.
Jesus died.
One day when I was lost.
One day when I was lost.
Jesus died.
Jesus died. Oh, when I was out in the world,
when I was lost,
he thought so much to save me. One day. Hallelujah, Jesus. One day when I was lost.
One day when I was lost.
Jesus. Come on. Jesus died. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus. Come on. He died on that cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Come on. He got up on that cross for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He died on that cross just for you. Come on. You should be grateful. Hallelujah. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Come on. Jesus died. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Yes, God. And I know it was the blood. And I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood for me. Come on. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood.
I know it was the blood.
How many of you know it was the blood? I know. I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood.
I know it was the blood for me.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Follow me. I know. Say, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. There you go.
I know it was the blood.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
It was the blood.
Hallelujah. Yeah, God. Yes, God.
I know it was.
I know it was the blood. Come on, put your hands on it, Delvin. It was the blood. Was it nothing else but it? The blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Yes, God. It was the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it was. I know it was the blood for me. Come on, child. Clap your hands. I know it was the blood, God. Hallelujah. Nothing else but the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood for me. And I know it was the blood. 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 It was my Savior's 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 blood. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, tell us. Put your hands on it. And I know it was the blood for me. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Yes, God, the blood that saves. Hallelujah, Jesus. Please stand and welcome our pastor, Jonathan Lee Ford, as he comes out.
You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you. Good morning to you and welcome. To another communion service. Thank God for being able to see your faces again. My dad told me to tell all of you hello, and he misses you, and a whole lot of other stuff he told me to tell you. I got to remember it, but he told me to tell him he was so glad to hear that the things were moving forward. So glad to see that the garden was still going forward. Obviously, that will always remain close to his heart. But what a good time he and I had being able to fellowship together again. Amen. So look, let's turn our attention to the Word of God. Today, I'm going to endeavor to conclude this series on life in God's garden. Okay? I'm going to try to put the closing touches on it today. As I've been, for the opportunities that I've had to be before you in the last couple months, the last couple of weeks, it's just preached through the second chapter out of the book of Genesis. And really just looking at the analogy of a garden and how it is so woven into God's plan of redemption, that if we can just understand life in the garden, right? That's where we get right in Genesis 2, right? It's right in the beginning. There it is. And that garden metaphor just carries forward through the conclusion of the book of Revelation. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn there with me, Genesis, the second chapter. And we're going to look at the first four verses, okay? And then we're going to add to the witness out of the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, okay? So Genesis, the second chapter, just going to look at the first four verses. Then we're going to add to the witness out of the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And there we're going to look at the first 10 verses. Amen. So I am going to invite you to stand with me if you're able as we read through the Word of God, Genesis 2, and then over in the witness in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Okay. If you're there, you're going to see these words. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done." Verse 3 said, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." Then verse 4, "This is the history, the heavens and the earth, when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." Amen. Now let's jump over into the New Testament, to the witness, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Amen. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it," come short of entering his rest. "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them." Now within, for context, the "them" he is referring to, chapter 3, is the children of Israel who left Egypt and wandered in the wilderness. You know, if you read chapter 3, that's what he's talking about. That's the group. So he says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us," right? He's talking about us, that current apostolic order, that the people after Christ had gone back to heaven said, "We heard the word." He said, "but all, as well as to them." It says, "But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." Okay? Just if everyone look up and look at me for a second. Just a footnote. While going to church is nice, going to church does not bless you. Are you with me on that? It's nice. Good thing to do. It's an admirable place to be is in church. But just going doesn't bless you. Okay? And here's the witness, right? Because if you go to church and don't receive the word of God with And by faith, you got the witness. What does the witness say? It doesn't profit you. Meaning what? It doesn't bless you. Right? You going to church is nice. But the whole purpose we go to church for is to hear the word of God. Why? The word of God says what? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing. So we go, we gather to what? Hear the word of God. Right? And if we become receptive to it, right, and receive it, one, it'll spark faith in us, right, to what? Believe in Jesus, right, to believe in Jesus. And that faith will then profit us, will then bless us. Are you with me on that? Okay, you got it, say I got it. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Who? He's talking about, again, the children of Israel who wandered in 40. He said they wandered for 40 years because God said it's for you, but you're not getting it. Right? And I'll show you when we get into this text. The children of Israel, Canaan was to be the promised land for them. Right? And when God brought them out of Egypt, they were to go into the promised land. And when you study that promised land journey, historian says that journey, 2 weeks tops, they should have been there. But for 40 years, for 40 years, God held them up. Until what? All of them what? Died out. Right? Only Caleb and Joshua were able to go in. Because they were the only ones that what? Believed by faith that they what? We can have it. God said we can have this promised land. So by faith, they what? They entered into a land which was what? To what? Be a place of rest for them. Coming out of slavery to now I'm going to bring you into a place of rest. I'm going to give you peace with your enemies all around. I'm going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey, and it's going to be a place, a season of rest for you. But because they didn't believe it, God said, I swore in my wrath, you're not going to enter this rest. Even though it's for you, you can't have it. Why? Because you're not receiving it by faith. So for 40 years, they what? They mumbled and complained. So God says, it's for you, but you can't have it. Are you hearing me this morning? Should not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Let me read fast. I see some of you need to stretch your hamstring or something. I don't know what's going on. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying to David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts. And if Joshua had given them that rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. So a generation still eventually got into the promised land, got into Canaan and got to inherit it. But then what he's saying here about referring to Joshua not giving them the rest, even though they got into Canaan, he was trying to say Canaan ain't the real prize. Canaan is just something to bless you now. I've got even better stuff for you stored up, right? But Canaan is now, you can see it, it's tangible. That's just to bide you over until I can prepare you for what I really got for you. Right? This is all he's saying here. If Joshua had given them that rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. And here it is, verse 9. This is the sermon. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Right? And we're going to work it out. And so he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. This morning, I'm going to conclude this series. I'm going to preach from this subject. Every garden provides a reward. That's why you're going in the first place. Why? You're hoping to what? Get something out of it. That's all of this planting and watering and weeding and all this. You hope somewhere down the line that you get something out of it, right? Every garden provides a reward. Amen? Father in heaven, it is your word, the seed of God. Transform us to be good ground. And by faith, let us receive the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated all over the church. God bless you and thank you to all of us, those of you joining us virtually this morning on YouTube and Facebook. Many positive things come from gardening. The most obvious joy is at harvest time when you get to reap the fruits of your labor and enjoy fresh vegetables that are far superior than what's available in many grocery stores. But you also get to enjoy the beauty of seeing flowers, the beauty of bees and butterflies that are attracted to garden life. While gardening is hard work, but physical exercise is important to having a healthy life and body. And many have attested to the power of having a breathing in fresh air for clearing our minds as well as our lungs. Not to mention the vitamin D that sunshine brings to the human body. We could also discuss the many benefits to our environment that gardening provides, the many benefits to our communities where we live and work, and the benefits to our personal health that come from growing even a little bit of our own food. But there is another benefit that you've heard me talk about often, is that gardening also provides a window into the scriptures. Amen? So, for the last few times I've been here, again, talking about life in the Garden of God, that's the series. The previous sermons, I told you that one, every garden requires work, right? Remember, that's how we started there. Every garden requires work. And right after the sermon, we all went out in the garden and what? Worked. We all were doing different things, but we were all what? Working in the garden. Some were picking up trash, some were pulling up weeds, some were planting seeds, some were building structures and all. But every garden requires work, right? When he finished the garden, he put what? Adam in charge of it and told him to what? To till and maintain it. So you gotta work. God planted it, he said, but now you gotta work it. Okay? Every garden requires work. Then after that, I came back and said, every garden has rules. Therefore, every garden requires what? Obedience, right? Just can't go in the garden and do whatever you want to do. There's some rules that apply to gardening, right? And today we want to talk about how every garden provides a reward, right? And what we immediately gravitate to in that reward is what? The harvest. That after many weeks of following the rules, doing what is necessary, that somewhere along the line we would see some fruit starting to come on the leaves, the branches, the vines, right? And that harvest, that fruit is our reward. Now it was worth it, right? So here's the question that I want to hang the sermon on, right? We're talking about life in God's garden. The question then we want to ask is, what is the reward in God's garden? And before we jump to the obvious, as we would in any garden, and say the harvest, you got to remember, by the time he dropped Adam and Eve into it, it was what? His garden was in full bloom, right? He said he planted every tree that was good for food, and every tree that was pleasant to the eye, it was there, right? And so we can't jump to the immediate conclusion. We say, well, The reward in God's garden is the reward that is in every garden, which is the harvest, right? And it still was, but I want you to look a little deeper, and I want you to follow the text that we have, right? So the text we have out of Genesis, the second chapter, you look at that. In verse 2, it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work. Right? Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work, which God had created and made. Right? People, and you guys know, you're good Bible study students, right? Anytime you study the Bible, you always pay attention to what? Repeated words. He's saying it over and over again for what? A reason, right? He's saying, second verse, he rested. Third verse, he rested, right? So that he's cluing us in onto something. Watch this. In the garden. Are you with me? Right? How many went to bed, stayed up too late last night? At least you're honest about it. The Lord bless you and keep you. Here we go. So here we go. What is the reward in God's garden? Here it is, right? The reward in God's garden is rest. When you live and function in God's garden and do the work that God requires and give the obedience that is necessary, God rewards you in his garden by giving you rest. I got the witness to prove it. Matthew 11:28 says this. There we find Jesus saying these words, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. That is the reward that God gives to all of those that come to him. He gives you rest. Right? Are you with me? I'm not making this up. It's in your Bible. Are you with me? Gives you rest. Now let's work backwards. Certainly, God did not rest due to weariness. Right? Look at somebody and just tell them God was not tired. Right? He wasn't tired. God didn't need a break. Right? He rested to establish the pattern for man's work cycle. Right? He said, Adam, he creates, fix everything. He finished the sixth day. He is crowned with creation. He creates man. Then on the very next day, he takes the day off. And he did it for Adam's benefit, not his. Are you with me on this? He established the pattern for man's work cycle in the garden. He was telling Adam, this is how you're going to live and operate in God's garden. You're going to do exactly what I have done. For 6 days, you're going to work. You're going to work the garden, till the ground, do whatever needs to be done to maintain what I've given you. He said, 6 days you got to work. But on the seventh day, he said, you're going to take a day off and you're going to do what I did. What I did was rest. So on the seventh day in the garden, you're going to rest, right? Adam didn't realize, but that was God's gift to him. So I'm going to give you rest, right? Jesus comes, New Testament says, anyone labor heavy laden, working, he said, what? Come unto me, and what am I going to give you? Not vacation, not a bonus, right? Not more money. He said, what I'm going to give you is rest. Man was created in the image and likeness of God, but man was not God. Had God kept working, right, it would have signaled to Adam he too had to what? Keep working, right? But if Adam were to keep working, Adam would run out. Why? Because Adam's not what? Adam's not God. Adam wasn't created to just work. Right? Are you with me? How many working men and women are listening to me preach? God did not create Adam, nor any of his sons, nor any daughters of Eve to work. Because you are not God. How many know if I stop preaching now, I already done preached? Rob, I'm down the road, man. If you accept the word of God by faith, you're already blessed. You're not created to work all the time, overtime, under time. You forfeit God's gift to you, which is rest. Am I helping anybody? Here we go. So it says that, and as you follow this day of rest forward through scripture, the next time we see it, it appears in Exodus, in the Mosaic law, where they give the Hebrew word is called Sabbath, which simply means what? To rest. That's all Sabbath means, to rest. The Sabbath was God's ordained day in the weekly cycle for man to rest. Mark 2:27 says it this way. Jesus, when they asked him about the disciples picking grain coming through the harvest field on the Sabbath, Jesus said this, the Sabbath, the day of rest, get this, was made for man. Are you guys listening to me preach? And not man for the Sabbath. God got that seventh day. God specifically designed it, blessed it, sanctified it, set it apart. What? For Adam. This is what you get for working and being obedient in God's garden. You get a day of rest. Are you with me? In Genesis 2:3, we read that God sanctified or set apart the Sabbath day because in it he rested. He set it aside for a day of worship. According, you read it further in the Mosaic law, it's a day of rest. Then it's a day of worship, right? Remember the Sabbath to what? Keep it holy, right? First, watch how it morphs. At first, it's a day of rest. But then it's also a day of what? Worship. Right? Let me see if you can handle this. So this is how my mind thinks, right? And anytime you engage in preaching the gospel, one of the things you must have, you gotta have creative thought. If you don't have an imagination, it's gonna be hard for you to preach, right? Because you gotta, the scriptures gotta take life. They gotta take shape in your mind and in your spirit, right? Because then you preach from that. But if you read the word of God and you don't see nothing, and you don't hear nothing, and you don't feel nothing, you're gonna have a hard time preaching. Because your audience is gonna what? Not hear anything, not see anything, not feel anything. So I'm reading this. This is life. God's garden. Adam, Eve, working 6 days. Here it is. Adam and Eve were to work 6 days and then rest physically. So whatever it was they were doing, they had to stop doing it on the seventh day, right? And then it says, and on that seventh day, they were to rest physically and then worship God spiritually, right? And this is what I said, well, you need some creativity. Think about this. Adam. Eve, beginning of creation. Guess what? No churches. So they couldn't go to church on the seventh day, right? No tabernacle, no temples, right? Haven't been built yet. Later in history, all right? So How do they worship God? No preachers or priests, right? The Aaronic priesthood doesn't come to what? Later, after Moses. So who's to lead them in worship? Where do they go to worship? It said God planted a garden. They didn't say God built a church, temple, or tabernacle. But yet he commanded them the rest. Don't work. But worship. How did they worship God? Right? When you go over here into chapter 3 and you read about that fall of man in Genesis 3, and I don't want to get into the fall, but one thing, it helps answer this question. It says, Genesis 3:8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God showed up on the seventh day like he always did. All right. Let's not fall yet. Just look at this. Their worship was fellowship with God. No church, no tambourine, no organ, no drum, no praying and worship, no preacher. But they had to keep it holy. And remember what I told you about the Garden of Eden. It not only was a special place, I told you it was what?
What else kind of place was
it? I told you it was a holy place, right? And I said, I can prove it. How do we know it's a holy place? Because God was able to what?
God was able to be there,
right? It was holy. It was without, God made it. He made it for Adam. Help me, Holy Ghost. He made it for Adam, but it was suitable for him. Will y'all get this sermon out of my hand? So the Garden of Eden, not only was it a special place for Adam and Eve, it was a place suitable for God to dwell. For 6 days, God stayed up in heaven. Adam, take care of it. I'm done. You work it out. I'll see you next week. On the seventh day, God comes down. Adam and Eve stop working. And they spend the entire day in fellowship. And that's where my imagination runs out. What they did during that whatever period of time, but I do know one thing. Whatever they did it what? Together. God was no longer in heaven. He came down. Why? Because he was able to. Because what? The Garden of Eden was what? Holy. Not only was the place holy, watch me preach it, his man was what? Come on now, pull this sermon out, right? And the place was holy. His man was holy. So your God, who is holy, could what? Come down and fellowship with Adam and Eve. What they did on that seventh day, I don't know where they went. I don't know. But here it is on that seventh day. So I want you to get this. A day of rest is not just physical rest, but it also involves spiritual fellowship. Right? It's not enough to take the day off from work and then stay home. You take the day off work. Now you got to engage in spiritual fellowship with God, right? Because this is the rest he's providing. Are you guys with me on this? If you got it, say, I got it. So in the Garden of God, Adam and Eve, here's the sermon. If you get this, you got the sermon. Watch this. So in the Garden of God, life in God's garden, Adam and Eve worked 6 days and enjoyed 1 day of rest with God. Right? Repeat after me. In the Garden of God, Adam and Eve worked 6 days and enjoyed 1 day of rest in the presence of God. If you with me in the spirit, you got the sermon. If you're not with me in the spirit, that's why you're looking funny at me. But that's my job as your pastor to keep preaching. So here it is. Genesis 3:22-24. Fall of man, Adam and Eve, they do their thing. Here it is. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and the evil. So now, lest he put forth his hand to take also of the tree of life and eat forever. Right? So I told you, God's merciful. Once man, Adam and Eve, fell into sin, the Trinity said, Lord, we got an issue here. If we allow him to stay in the garden and allow him to eat from any tree, including the tree of life, if he eats it now, he'll stay in sin forever. That's what the tree of life did. It sustained him. It gave him access to eternity. Right? Unlike God, who is eternal by nature, that wasn't Adam. Adam gained access to eternity by eating from the tree of life. He ate, he kept living. His body didn't wear down, didn't wear out. You follow what I'm saying? So the Trinity says, look, we got an issue. If he eats, here it is. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the garden, the special place, the holy place, the place of rest, right? That was in the garden, right? Lord God sent him forth of the garden. He still had the work, but he couldn't work the ground in the garden. Now he has to work the ground where? Outside of the garden, which was still good by God's own testimony. He said everything, God, it was still good, but it wasn't what? It wasn't Eden. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't Eden, right? So he's out, 24. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. And a flaming sword was turned every which way to keep the way, to keep them away from the tree of life. You with me? So Adam and Eve still had to work. And they still needed to rest physically, even more so now. But the spiritual rest, the fellowship and peace with God, was now broken and different because of sin. Right? So outside of the garden, Adam still had the rest. His bodies weren't made to go on. So he still needed physical rest. But when he reached or sought for the presence of God, he couldn't find it. Why? Because God can only be in what? The holy place. Nothing was wrong with the stuff outside. It wasn't a place suitable for God. It was suitable for Adam. He could live. He could function. But it was no longer a suitable habitation for God. So when Adam rested on the seventh day, he noticed something was different. This isn't how it felt in the garden. This is not how it was in the garden. So here it is. Let me get you there. Here it is. Now I'm Hebrews 4:1. And I won't work all of it. I'll just, here it is. Hebrews 4:1. Good Lord, let's read that, right? Because this is it. Now remember what I had you repeat, because that's the sermon, right? In the garden, they worked 6 days and had one day of rest, right? Here it is. Here it is, 4:1. Let's work it out. It says, therefore, a promise remains. Well, what's the promise? There remains a promise of entering his rest. Right? Are you with me? Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So there is still a promise, not of rest, but if there is still a promise of his rest. Whose rest? God's rest. I'm glad you said Adam, because that was the rest in what? In the garden. That was Adam's rest. Right? That was life in the garden. God said, work six, take seventh off. Said, I want you to rest. And on during that day, I want you to fellowship with me. So work with it. If Adam fellowships with God on the seventh day, guess what he gets? He gets renewed. He gets restored. His spirit gets rejected. He just being in the presence of God. No church. No singing. I'm not going to say no, nothing. I don't know what they did. But whatever he did while fellowshipping with God, it rejuvenated his body so that the next day he could what? Start working again. Why? Because he had been in the presence of the Lord. Doing what? Fellowship. Right? That was Adam's rest. Why? Because the Sabbath was made for who? The Sabbath was made for what? For man. God didn't make the Sabbath for himself. He made it for Adam. So that Adam could get physical rest. So that Adam can come into his presence, get physically rejuvenated, and spiritually restored. Just through fellowship. Right? So good. So you got that. In the garden, that's Adam's rest. But God said there's still a promise of entering his rest. Are you with me? Here it is. So here it is. God's rest includes his presence. God's rest includes confidence of salvation. God's rest includes a reliance and availability of his strength, right? The rest that God provides also gives an assurance of a future heavenly home, right? Look at somebody and say, God's rest, right? You guys were all excited and you were like, man, I want to live in God's garden and I want Adam's rest. And what did I tell you about Cain? Canaan was the promised land, but it wasn't the best land. Canaan was nothing more than an appetizer. God said, I want you to enjoy this for a while. I got some other stuff laid up for you. Right? Hebrews 4:1. There remains what? A promise of entering his rest. What I want you to see, there was Adam's rest in the garden. But what ultimately, when you look at history, his story, what God really has is his own rest for Adam and all those that will believe in Jesus Christ. And the rest of God is greater than Adam's rest in the garden. Are you with me? All right, let me get down the road and prove it and move on. Here it is. All right, here, 11:29. Here it is, Matthew 11. He says, take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Here it is. This is in your Bibles. And ye shall find rest. Right? But you got to read it out. He said, you're going to find rest for what? For your soul. So this rest, God's rest, is what? A spiritual rest. Are you with me? Adam's rest was a physical rest and spiritual rest. Physical rest, because what? God told him, stop working. Don't do any work. That's for the other 6 days. 7 days, I want you to physically rest. Right?
Then he added the benefit to it. He said, not only are you going to rest, I'm going to come down and hang out with you. I'm going to take you to the movies. We're going to go out to eat. We're going to do it like we do it. So Adam's rest was physical, but God's rest is what? Come on, he says, could you come unto me? I'm meek and lowly, and you will find rest, not for your body, but for your soul. So that means God's rest is a spiritual rest. If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. Let's keep moving. All right, 4:2. I'm hearing it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Mere knowledge of God's message is not enough. It must be appropriated with and by faith. That's what I gave you this before. Coming to church will not bless you. If you're not going to receive the word of God with faith, listen to me, stay home. Why waste the gas? Why waste the time and effort? If you're going to allow the word of God to go in one ear and go out the other, fooling yourself by thinking, if I go to church with her, with him, that somehow that will be enough to cause God to bless me. And I'm trying to be as honest as I can. I'm giving you the witness on it. He said, if you don't receive it by faith, it will profit you nothing. Right? I'm not going to fool with it because I gave it to you, all right? Right? Hebrews 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I don't have time to fool with that, Norm. But it's God who gives you the faith. People can say, okay, Pastor, if I don't receive it by faith, all right, how do I receive it by faith? Guess what? I don't know. I don't know how you receive it by faith. But God does. So where are we going, Pastor? So your job is not merely to listen, but while listening, you need to be praying to Jesus. Give me the faith to believe your word. Because without that added component, again, in one ear, out the other. This is why I want you to be alert during the preaching. Not for my benefit, but for yours. So that while you're hearing the word of God going forth, and you're coupling that with your own prayer. What's Samuel's mother's name? Hannah. The Bible said the man of God looked at her. And suppose she was drunk. Because she was in the temple of God. In the worship part of the service. And her mouth was moving. But no sound was coming out. She wasn't singing the songs that were being sung. She wasn't giving praise to God. So the Bible said that the man of God just assumed she was drunk. But what Hannah was doing was giving us the proper example of how to receive the word of God when in his presence. By praying. She was in that house, and I'm sure the Levites were ministering, and I'm sure they were carrying on the functions of worship. But while they were doing that, Hannah was praying. And I believe God gave her the faith, the faith to believe. I'm going to tell you why I believe it. Eli said, go your way. Whatever your petition was, he gave it to you. I told you I don't know what to do. You all, the pastor know. We don't know any better than you do. The only thing I'm going to tell you is what I need to tell you. You got to believe it by faith. That's how you receive preaching. By faith. That's how it works for you. You don't receive it by faith. It's just, are you hearing what I'm saying? All right, here we go. I'm finished. I'm going to stop. It's 11 o'clock. Here it is. Hebrews 3. Read this and we're done with it. 4:3. For we who have believed do enter that rest. We, right? Who's the we? Who have believed, right? Believed what? Jesus Christ. We who have believed on it, enter that rest. What rest? Not Adam's rest. This is what? The rest that's his rest. God's rest. The spiritual rest. Right? Which is what he really had for you from the beginning. And I can prove it because I got the witness on it. The witness says, on the seventh day, he rested. Right? Look, he rested from all his work. Right? And if you're not in the spirit, you'll look at that and read it with a fleshly eye and say, okay, he rested from all of his work in creation. He did. But he also rested. I wish I had a real church. This is the sermon right here. He also rested, right? Here, let me work to where again. Get this. I'm in verse 3, Hebrews 4:3. If you're not there, turn there. We who have believed do enter that rest. Right? And so, again, talking about the children of Israel, who in the years of wandering did not believe. He said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They didn't enter because they didn't believe. Different from those who do believe. Now, look at this. Look at what he says. Are you guys looking at this? If I see your eyes instead of the top of your head, that means you're not looking at it. Verse 3, second half. Although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. Those works include not only the works of creation, but the work of creating his rest. Are you guys with me on this? He not only stopped creating the heavens and the earth, but he finished the rest for the people of God. He's not prepared. It's finished. Jesus dying on the cross says what? Right? It's finished. Jesus has a funny habit of saying stuff that's what? He has what? Heard before. He has a way of doing that, of saying stuff that he's heard before. And it was at the foundation of the world that God said, it's what? He said, it's, you and I look at it and said, no, it can't be finished. Look at all this other stuff that, no. God said, I'm finished. The work, the rest that I have for you is finished. Right? That's why it is called the gift of grace. He's not working it out based on your performance in the garden. Adam's rest was based on his work and obedience in God's garden. The garden had one rule. Leave that tree alone. That's all the rule. Say, leave that tree alone. It's me and you, 6-1 from here on out. One rule. But because he broke the rule, he lost the what? The rest. Right? But how many of you know God has something what? In his pocket. In his pocket. And this is what I love about it. This is what I want you to get out of your seat. God, your God, is so much smarter than Satan. Satan sees what, Satan's got a bird's eye view of what's going on. He's watching 6-1, cycle after cycle, right? Pride gets in his heart. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to mess up the cycle. I'm going to get Adam kicked out the garden. And he does it by enticing them to break the what? The one rule. And he knew what he was doing. He knew if he breaks that one rule, he knew what God was going to do. Why? Because the place would no longer be holy. God couldn't come down there anymore. He couldn't fellowship with Adam anymore. And once he got kicked out of God's garden, guess whose garden he fell into? I'm gonna let her preach it. I don't need to preach it. She just prayed. He got kicked out of God's garden, and he fell into Satan's garden. Right? He's the prince of the air. The power of this age is his garden. But I don't want you to lose heart. The reason why I'm preaching this message the way I am, I want you to understand. Verse 9, right? There remains a rest for the people of God. Because if you listen to this message one way, you're like, oh man, we'll never get back to that rest. Adam got kicked out, all of us got kicked, and that's true. But God has something better for you. It's not Adam's rest, but it's God's rest. I'm finished. Stand up. You stand up, I'll stop. You guys keep sitting there. I'll just keep going. Stand up. I'll stop. Get this and you get the whole sermon. I told you I had you repeat it because I didn't want you to forget it. In God's garden, there was what? 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. Right? In God's rest. Right? We used to sing a song. A long time ago, years and years and years ago, we used to sing a song. It said, and every day will be Sunday. The Sabbath will what? Have no end. Right? And I know that's music, but it's good theology weaved in there. This guy is singing about the rest that God provides. Every day will be Sunday. Every day will be a Sabbath. Rest. So in Adam's rest, he had 6 days work, 1 day's rest. But in God's rest, every day will be Sunday. Do you follow it? In God's rest, there'll be what? No more work. No more temptation to sin. Right? In God's rest, every day will be Sunday. The Sabbath, the day of rest, will have no end. I'll give you the witness and I'm done with it. Revelation 21:3, John says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 4. And God, here it is. This is the rest that God gives. And God will wipe away every tear. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. Wipe away. There shall be no more death. Right? I'm talking about in God. There shall be no more sorrow. Not in Adam's rest, but in the rest that God provides. There shall be no more crying. Are you guys hearing me? There shall be no more pain. Why? Because the former things have been passed. God said, I'm going to give you something better than Eden. And I prepared it from the beginning of all time. I didn't wait to see how well you do. I didn't wait to see if you would believe me or not. I didn't wait to see if you would accept my son or not. The Bible says the lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. God said, I finished my work from the foundation. God's plan was in place from the beginning. That's when I teach Genesis and we say, in the beginning, God. What we're really talking about is the beginning of man, not God. God had already been working, already laying the foundation, already establishing his rest. So the Hebrew writer can pick it up and say, there remains a rest for the people of God. There remains a rest for you. There remains a rest for me. A rest that will involve no more sorrow. A rest that will involve no more pain, dying, suffering, sickness, hardship, trouble on this side, trouble on that side. There is a rest. Look at somebody and tell them, you need some rest. Come on, get them told, you need some rest. Not the rest from your job. Not the rest from your kids. Not the rest from your companion. You need the rest that God provides. Somebody shout, yes. If you want that rest, not Adam's rest, but the rest that God provides, give him a praise. Lord, I thank you for that rest. Lord, I praise you for the rest that God can provide. Give him a praise. Yes, Lord, thank you for the rest. Thank you for the rest of God. Woo! Yes. 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 I don't know about you, but I need some rest. Woo! That's what I want. That's what I need. The rest, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's what I want. That's what I need. I want the rest of Oh, my goodness. There remains a rest for the people of God. That's what we're living for. To enter that rest. Well, every day will be Sunday. And the Sabbath day, the day of rest, there'll be no end. And because we'll be in fellowship with God, because there will be worship of God, there'll be no more pain, suffering, sickness, or sadness. It all must flee from the presence of God. So the Hebrew writer encourages us to press forward, to enter into that rest. All Genesis 2, 3, and 4, it was nothing more than a foreshadowing of the real rest. All Canaan was, and I know they called it the promised land, but all Canaan was a foreshadowing of the real rest. God knew when he put Adam in there, just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. He knew what was going on in heaven. He knew Adam was like him, but not him. He always asked, I told you the other week, there's no magic to the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good. There's no magic about it. But when he ate it, he then knew evil. That's all it is. Because now he had what? Broken the what? The rule. And now his what? His conscience kicked in. Something in the spirit stood up and said, wait, something's different now. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the berries we ate. I don't know if it was the apple. I don't know if it was the banana or the coconut. But something's different now. He didn't know what it was. But he told Eve, maybe we should get dressed. We don't have nothing to wear. So the Bible said they hid themselves. And here comes Sunday. Here comes the Sabbath. you got to get this. I tell you what made Eden special. It was holy. That means God could dwell. The fullness of God could dwell there. But after they sinned, notice only his voice comes. Not the fullness of God. Not the presence they were used to. The Bible said the voice of the Lord came. The cool of the day. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. The word of God comes in the cool of the day. He sends his word to us because he himself cannot come and dwell with us. So he sends what he can. Sends his voice. He sends his word. John had the revelation. John said, in the beginning was the word. Not on the seventh day, but John said, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning, the voice of God had already created creation, had already finished the work of creating a rest for you. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many, many mansions, rooms available for you to go and take a rest. Said, if it were not so, I would have never told you. Jesus knew it because Jesus saw it, what? Before the creation ever happened. He saw what the Father was doing. So Jesus said, prepare me a body. He said, I'll go down. And I'll reestablish access to the real rest that God has for the people of God. I'm finished. You've been so faithful and patient every, not just this Sunday, but every Sunday. So if the service will come, let's hand out the communion sacraments. You may have already gotten it on your way in. For those of you that entered during the sermon, thank God for our service. They're coming around. Come on, let's take the sacraments. Let's take up his body. Let's take up his shed blood. Also given for us from the foundation of the world. Everybody else has theirs. I guess I better get mine. This is what he offered. Flesh and blood. That's what he gave. For you. For you. For you. For you. He said, whosoever will. So let him come. So today, if you will, having heard the word of God, having been quickened by the Holy Spirit, and if you by faith receive, then I say to you, eat ye all of it. Let's lift the grape juice. Like you, I know it was the blood that paid the price for my salvation. If you, by faith, receive the word of God, then I say to you, even as Christ said to his own disciples, drink ye all of it. Shall we stand? As you're standing, I'm going to ask you to take somebody's hand. I'm going to ask you to help me pray this morning. I don't want anybody unconnected. Take somebody's hand somewhere. And as you connect with a hand, I'm going to ask you to help me pray this morning. I want you to pray for that hand you're holding. Pray that God would strengthen them and keep them until they are able to enter the rest that God has for them. Everybody, everywhere, pray for them. Touch and agree right now for them. For them. The rest that God has said there'll be no sorrow, no suffering, no sin. But we're not in that rest now. I need somebody to pray for me. I need somebody to pray with me. Because I am suffering. I am dealing with sickness in my body. I am dealing with setback after setback. And I need somebody now, somebody today, somebody in church to just pray with me and to pray for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen them. Encourage them by your own right arm. Woo! Help them, help them, help them, help them, help them in the name of Jesus. Help them in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you strengthen them, encourage them until they enter into that rest. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for their body. Pray for their family. Pray for their finances. Pray for their mental well-being. Pray for healing in their body. Pray for deliverance for them. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. 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 Run the devil out. Run the devil out. Tell the devil you gotta go. I want the rest that God has. I want the rest that God has. That rest. The rest of God. That rest. That's what I want. That's what I need. There remains a rest for the people of God. Come on, let's take 60 seconds. Give God the best praise you can. Come on, everybody. Everybody everywhere. At home. In the internet. In the sanctuary. Upstairs in the overflow. Give the Lord God. Give the Lord God. The best praise. The best praise. Give him your best. Give him your best. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hallelujah. We bless you, oh God. We praise you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you all the praise. aboard, fellas. Go, 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 go. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes again. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Woo! You may be seated all over the sanctuary. You may be seated. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Come on, Doc. Let's get you out of here. And one of y'all going to have to drive him to his real church now. But at least when he get there, the glory will be on him. They'll be like, man, look like you done had some rest. You look like you done had some rest. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. So let's finish up whatever we got left. Somebody's in charge, huh? I don't know who, but somebody. There remains a rest. People, that promise is for you. That's why he wrote it. So that you would know your labor is not in vain. But if you work in the garden, you follow the rules of the garden, there's a reward for you. And that reward is his rest. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for our drummer. Amen. Somebody call him an Uber or something. Get one of those bikes out the back. Let him ride the bike to be good. All right, good. Come on, you coming, Shanita? All right, come on, get us out of here. Thanks, Rob.
Man, what a good word. Amen. Now we're going to transition our service. We're going to have our sister Cassandra McCoy come up and do the offering. Say amen as she comes. Good morning. Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through our giving. This morning, you may give one of four ways. You can, which is text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or U.S. postal mail. To give through text, please text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139, or at Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will see two offering baskets next to the side door ramp, one for your tithes and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit. You can also give the pastor a love offering through Cash App or Venmo. As always, we thank you for your continued support. Thank you. Amen. Now we're going to do the announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit the subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor's Tabernacle so that you are informed on what's to date with all our upcoming gathering and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had any contact with COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights, we have prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meets, and Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets. We look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. And please remember Pastor Ford's YLE challenge. I forgot the number, but it's to bring and invite young people to church. And then that's all I've had. Just remember that next Sunday is Mother's Day. So invite your mothers, your grandmothers, anybody mother to come and fellowship with us next Sunday. All right. Amen. Pastor coming on. Here you go.
Turn me back. Thanks, Jay. My voice is just about gone. One thing I do want to, two things before we go. Just one, I think we got up on the board. I need your help in supporting Turning the Tide. We were trying to give all last month. If you like me, I'm giving today. I just missed it, so many things. But if you haven't given your $100 donation, will you get that in as soon as possible? You can either make your check out to Turning the Tide. This is my wife and I. We're giving. We're going to put it in the basket. But I think up on the board, they have the electronic where you can give via the Tide's website. So will you do that if you can? Maybe not do it next week because you got to take your mom out, but maybe the week after that. Could you get it in? We need your support. So much is going on, not just in the garden, but what we're doing with our literacy program, our computer literacy. We need your financial support. Amen. So put that in the offering for me. It's made out to turn in the tide, so it'll go the right way. And then lastly, Rob, grab these. Let's hand those out. Let's give those out to everyone. What you're seeing is we have a men's fellowship event coming up in June where we're asking all the men and all of the young men. We're going to see the Phillies. We want to see them while they're winning. It's, you know, that don't always last long, but right now they're winning. Let's hope they can hold on to it. But we've got to get the money in before the end of this month, okay? So everything that's all the information. We want all fathers, all sons, all grandfathers. We want every man and every young man to go. You guys with me on that? And you see how we're giving it? Ties coordinating everything. I want you to have it. This is going to be in our email distribution. So for those of you that are joining us virtually, you'll get the same flyer. Okay? Now remember, I need you to support the Tide Center first. Don't come in here with your Phillies gear on and we ain't got no dirt for the garden. So all right, let me bless the garden and the Tide Center first, and then I'm going to scrape up. I want to say this. Tyrone wanted me to mention it, and it's admirable. We're going to do it. We want every young man to go. Money will not be an issue for you not going, okay? So moms, grandmoms, whatever. Fathers, we're praying for our own sons, but we also, if necessary, any young man that wants to go, you'll be able to go. Money will be provided. Somebody, I'll pay it. Somebody will pay it. But we don't want that to be the issue to miss this. What's his question, Alex? Okay, good. You win. We all are going. Good. And that's the kind of excitement I like to see in our young people. All right, so you have it. With that, shall we all stand? Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name alone. Go with us as we leave this garden-like experience. Go back out into the world. But as we leave this place, we pray that we don't leave your presence. We want you to go with us everywhere we go. We want you to stand up strong in us at any and all times of the day or night, so that we can be living epistles, living witnesses for you and your kingdom. Remember the church. Strengthen us, hold us together with bands of love and of mercy. Cause us to be ever shaped and conformed into your image until that great day where we see your face and hear the trumpet sound of God. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor.